chirping, the sun is shining, and you're listening to Next Up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you got to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans. This is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hi, I'm Kermit the Frog. I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT! Yay!
Get the fuck out of here.
Go into the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of you youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say.
Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant.
Good times. Good times. How's everybody doing? Good morning. I had such a hard time getting up this morning. I set my alarm for 8. I put the snooze bar on for 15 minutes, and I was like, nah, I gotta get my ass out of bed. Breakfast with Blassie. The Breakfast with Blassie edition of the Don Tony Show. I'll tell you what's funny about this. You know, I was going through my old intros, and yes, my have times changed. Audio quality has changed. If you listen to that first part where it says, hi, this is Anthony of wrestling-news.com, those are from the hotline days to show you how horrible the audio used to be. But if you're in a little bit of a retro frame of mind, I'm going to play one more intro right now that did not make the cut.
It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining.
It's not deja vu. Just give it a minute.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
Matt Hardy. TNA debut. He's fat. He's got corn rolls. He's got jelly rolls in his stomach.
You gotta love Sports Illustrated for letting Dixie Carter get away with that cash flow positive shit. Hey, Dixie, I think it's about time you change TNAWrestling.com to .org. I mean, think about it, Dixie. You are a nonprofit organization.
So Husky Harris' catchphrase is, I'm the army tank with a Ferrari engine. Son, you're 4 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound Ziploc bag, brother!
I lost all respect for Jeff Jarrett when he put his dead wife in his storyline. Hey, Jeff, what if I grab a picture of your dead wife and masturbate to her tonight? I know it sounds fucked up. I wouldn't really do it. Not because it's classless, but she was ugly.
Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Band. 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 Total.
Ain't I great? Yeah. I had to edit out the old Jim Cornette stuff because I am a Cornette fan right now. But, man, times have changed. Times have changed. But I'm still here, just a little bit older. You know, one of those intros goes back like 15 years. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So, yeah, it's a little retro to start off the show. By the way, how do you like that? How do you like that? We had this conversation, I think it was, what, last Sunday for the sit-down? Somebody said, what do we think about either Jerry Lawler or Jeff Jarrett as a special guest referee for the Usos versus the Street Profits at SummerSlam? We got into it in detail. WWE went with it. Not saying that they listen to us. I don't want Jeff Jarrett as special guest referee. You know, remember what we said, with the exception of Owen, for the most part, God rest his soul, you think of Jeff Jarrett. You don't think of, oh, tag team specialist that could do law and order. No. They gave him this fucking spot because they're going to be in Memphis, because he just signed this big deal with WWE. So now they want to use him a little bit. I still think Sami Zayn will play a factor. I think Jeff Jarrett gets laid out during this match. I expect a Jeff Jarrett ref bump, and I expect Sami Zayn, who was lobbying yesterday to be the referee, I think Sami Zayn will get involved. Will he be a referee? I don't know. But I think Sami Zayn may cost the Usos the tag team championships. You take away gold from the bloodline, you are fucked, my friend. So even though they advertised Mr. Jarrett as the special guest referee, I think someone else will be the deciding factor. And you know what? If the Street Profits win, I could picture Jeff Jarrett waking up, you know, getting his composure after being knocked out, and then he holds the Street Profits' hands up high in victory. That's an early prediction. I'm not sticking with it right now, but that's an early prediction. We will see what happens. We will see what happens. So, I didn't think we would get open with Jeff Jarrett, but since we did talk about his deceased wife, you know, I kind of felt like we needed to. Now, look, for newer fans out there that heard that, that got really, really offended, you obviously were not around during the time that Jeff Jarrett's wife, not Karen, wife, passed away. And then they used that in a storyline. It was one of the most distasteful storylines that TNA had done. And that was my way of saying, okay, asshole, you want to do a stupid storyline like that, bringing up your dead wife? I could see Eddie Guerrero. You know, I could see wrestlers. Because what people don't understand is that Eddie Guerrero, when they kept using his name in storyline after he was dead, that's something that Eddie wanted. Yeah, man, keep my name alive. I used to joke when I was doing the indie wrestle crap stuff. I'm like, look, if I stay here forever and I die suddenly, do whatever you want in a storyline. Blow up my car, besmirch my name, just don't forget my name. So, Jeff, you know, I agree, Rams fan. Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle, they ended up having a good feud. It just sucks that the premise of the feud had to be what it was. So, anyway, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. Because our international friends, it is afternoon. You know, I hope this sticks. I hope we could do every Saturday morning like this. Not because it frees my Saturday nights, because I've said it before, doing the Saturday night show is my favorite night of the show, of the week. Don't get me wrong, I love doing Mondays more at times. I love doing Sundays because it's so interactive. The fact it starts so early in the evening, like I finish and it's still, you know, I still have energy that maybe I could get a little suki-suki after, but doing this in the morning, you know, now I have my whole day. Now, the reason why we're doing this, obviously, you know, a lot of people wanted a morning show. But tonight I got to go to somebody's engagement party. So doing this show this morning. Now, so, Ramsen brought up a good point. In 2 weeks, we got SummerSlam. Are we going to do a morning show that day? I think so. I think we will do predictions that morning. I think we'll do a little pre-show. Maybe we'll get in some important news. But now I want to get into some important news. Now, obviously, the two big topics that everybody is talking about is Sasha Banks and TV 14 Raw. Okay. Now, look, I opine. A lot of what I do here is opinion. Yes, I do get news. Yes, if you notice, on a weekly basis, I will throw some little news tidbits that you don't hear anywhere else. You know, I do have friends that I can go to and ask about certain things. You know, I see, oh, exclusively, PW Insider reports that Santana will be out for 8 months. We fucking said that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. You know, he went, he blew out his knee. He's done. He's done until 2023. You know, somebody on a deathbed could have figured it out. That's sausage. But we got to talk about Sasha, and we got to talk about TV 14, because I'm going to throw a curveball to a lot of you out there about both topics. Now, let's talk about Sasha first. Let's talk about the C2E2 appearance that's been announced first weekend of August in Chicago Comic Book Convention. You know, obviously, if you follow Star Wars, The Mandalorian, every time I hear that word, I think of the Back to the Future car. Yeah. So, but anyway, you know, look, she was a integral character, and she's going to have a Hollywood career. So Sasha Banks is going to appear. Now, Sasha Banks, as we said a couple of days ago, every person who takes a picture and sign and asks for an autograph, you know the number one question they're going to ask. You know, are you still with WWE? Are you still with WWE? Are you still with WWE? Check this out. I don't think it's carelessness on WWE's part. Do you ever get a fan survey emailed? I get them every time they send them out. And they ask you specific questions. Now, they just sent out another fan survey. And understand something. Sasha and Naomi, several months ago. And when you look at somebody like Apollo Crews, he's now in NXT. He's not on Raw or SmackDown anymore. The fan survey that just was sent out, I think last night, Apollo Crews is not on that list. So I'm bringing up that point because he's now in NXT for about 5 weeks. So I don't want anybody to think that this list is set up where it might have been 3-4 months old and they just sent it out now. Now, what is this fan survey, you might ask? They asked everybody. They gave you a list of wrestlers, and they asked you to respond. And you select either one of my favorites, very good, fair, poor, or unfamiliar. You do not want to get the unfamiliar. Now, if you had somebody like Jackson Riker on this list, they have poor also. I guarantee he would probably get either the poor or the unfamiliar. Would you rather get poor or would you rather get unfamiliar? For me, I'd rather get poor, because if I get unfamiliar, because you know Baron Corbin, King Corbin, Happy Corbin, Constable Corbin. Does anybody remember Constable Corbin? Motherfucker's got four different variations of his name already. Constable Corbin. I'm sure everybody's going to put poor on that list. Are they going to put one of their favorites? No. They going to put very good? No. Some people might be nice, might put fair. So you know some people, some douchebags are going to get poor. But I want to read you the names on this list. You might find it interesting. AJ Styles, Tozawa, Alexa Bliss, Aaliyah, Angel, Angelo Dawkins, Asuka, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Big E, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, Butch, Carmella, Cedric Alexander, Chad Gable, Charlotte Flair, Ciampa, Cody Rhodes, Commander Aziz, Damian Priest, Dana Brooke, Dolph Ziggler, Dominic Mysterio, Doudrop, Drew Gulak, Drew McIntyre, Edge, Eric, Ezekiel, Finn Balor, Gunther, Happy Corbin, Umberto, Ivar, Jimmy and Jey Uso, Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, Lacey Evans, Liv Morgan, Ludwig Kaiser, Marseille. Yes, they spelled it that way. They didn't write Mace. Marseille. Madcap Moss. Mansoir. Max Dupree. Montez Ford. Mustafa Ali. I'm getting to it. MVP. Naomi. Natalia. Nikki Ash. Omas. Otis. Queen Zelina, R-Truth, Randy Orton, Raquel Rodriguez, Reggie, Rey Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, Rick Boogs, Ricochet, Riddle, Ridge Holland, Robert Roode, Ronda Rousey, Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks, Seth Rollins, Shanky, Shayna Baszler, Sheamus, Shelton Benjamin, Shinsuke Nakamura, Shotzi, Sonya Deville, T-Bar, Tamina Snuka, The Miz, Theory, Veer, Xavier Woods, Xia Li. Sasha Banks and Naomi are on this list. Pretty interesting. I know what you're going to say, but believe me when I tell you, anything that goes out, especially to millions and millions of fans, gets signed off on WWE offices. And trust me, that is done, and people are going to take notice of that. Now, what I'm about to say is an opinion. It's not news. If it ends up not being, I don't want anybody to DT, you were wrong. This is just an opinion. You know what I think about the Sasha Banks situation? No one has reported this. And I'm just throwing a guess out there. I went back, because, and this will lead to the $30,000 asking price that is floating around, because I have something really interesting to say about that. We talked about it in a watch party yesterday. By the way, Eric Williams and a few others, thank you for confirming something that I was doing some research about for tonight's show. I went back to my old school days, and I remember wrestlers would be able to do a movie. They still can now. They would be able to do an autograph signing. They would be able to do some appearances. On the outside, they would have to get approved from WWE, but they would be able to do some outside projects. What if I said to you that WWE told Sasha Banks, take the rest of 2022 off. Go out, enjoy yourself, go do, you know, things, you know, obviously no wrestling. You could go to conventions, you could go to wrestling conventions, you can make appearances, but take the rest of 2022 off. And we'll bring you back around the Royal Rumble, and that'll be the road to WrestleMania. What would your reaction be to that? That Sasha Banks returns, but in 2023. And for the rest of the year, you know, a mental vacation. You know, step back, do some outside projects, make a little bit of coin in the process. And the reason why I think that could be, because, look, you have investors and stockholders, and sure, the stockholders don't give a shit about individual wrestlers. But this is a big enough story that has bled into the financial market, where Sasha's name has been mentioned. Naomi's name has been mentioned. But Sasha's name more than anything else. And now I'm starting to think, you know, WWE, and I don't mean to sound like an asshole when I say this, but WWE has a huge set of balls. They are more powerful than Sasha Banks. They could eat up, spit out, shit out, eat it again, shit it out again, Sasha Banks, and they will not lose a beat. You see Roman Reigns, everybody, oh my God, they're fucking up the product. They're taking them off TV. Oh my God. Does it really feel like it is tremendously suffered? Have the ratings tanked? Have house shows tanked? Has pay-per-views tanked or premium live? Nothing is tanked. Nothing is tanked. Makes you appreciate Roman Reigns that much more because you don't get him every day. Sorry, everybody. You're not supposed to have filet mignon every weekend. But Anthony, I want filet mignon. Go fucking make hot dogs, you rich bitch. Oh, you kind of appreciate the ones that value more. If you look even in AEW with their champions, how often did Hangman Page defend the title? And if he did, he faced Yuka, nobody give a shit, you know, or Adam Cole on a Rampage episode. You know, I'm not comparing the two as far as usage, but you get where I'm going with this. So, Eric is asking, is hot dogs on a carnivore diet? Get grass-fed organic hot dogs. Do not get the, you know, my bologna as a first name. You know, don't get that stuff. But so, Sasha Banks, if WWE wanted to announce to the world that she is no longer part of WWE, they would have done it already. You know, they're keeping her name in the roster. They're not strangling her by the throat that she can't. She's going out. She's going to concerts. She's hanging out with her significant other. You know, she's enjoying life. You know, for some reason, people think that Sasha Banks is extremely irritable right now. You know, or she's extremely sad or angry or bitter. I'm wondering if WWE told her, take the rest of the year off. Enjoy the rest of 2022. It's been hard on everybody, especially now. If Vince, remember, all this went back to Vince. Vince promised this. Vince promised that. Vince promised this. Remember all those cryptic videos that we caught on a year before everyone else that Sasha was making these little jokes about Vince McMahon? And it almost, remember that? We said this a year ago, and it almost felt like Sasha was teasing Vince. And the feeling that we got was, oh, he likes it. Oh, yeah. Step on me. Shit on me. Yeah, put me down. I think Vince got a little bit of, you know, I don't know how Sasha's significant other. They're not married, right? Are they married? I don't think so. I don't remember anybody calling her Mr. Banks. I'm telling you, shit's been going on for a while. Now you got the rumors of Vince. We got something big to talk about with Vince a little bit. We started off joking around about it. Now it appears it may be happening. We're like, wow. So what do you guys think? Sasha Banks taking 2022 off, doing a little bit of here, doing a little bit of there, comes back for the Royal Rumble. I think it could happen. Sasha is married. Thank you, Eric. I never bothered to look at her marital status, so... Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Because by now, let's realize that 3 weeks is C2E2. In 3 weeks, you're going to have phone footage of every fucking fan. Are you still with WWE? Did you quit WWE? Are you still with WWE? I'm really curious to see her responses. Especially when someone divvies out $160 for a Polaroid and an autograph. Yeah. If you want to take a picture with Sasha Banks, there is a, you know, hugging fee. $90. Take a picture. Makes, you know, remember Virgil in the New York City subways? Hey, you want to take a picture with me? And you take a picture. Okay, give me $5. That's kind of chump change compared to $90. You want to take a picture with Sasha Banks. If you want an autograph from Sasha Banks, you pay $70. And I don't know if they're going to be customized. But if you want the two, I don't know. I didn't see any discount. So you're going to pay in excess of $150 to take a picture and get an autograph. Now, you know, it makes the autographs that we do on a watch party seem a little more valuable. I got like 60 Sasha Banks autographs sitting inside to give away. So maybe we'll do a Sasha Banks autograph orgy one day and just give them all away. But I think Sasha Banks, maybe she's back at the end of 2022. Steve Joseph, and thank you everybody who sent questions and super chats. We will definitely put some time aside for that. But since this is on the topic, I will be more than happy to answer this now. Steve Joseph, with the two spot, when do I think Naomi will be back? I think Naomi will be back very, very soon. Naomi will be back very, very soon. Do I think she will be Maxine Dupree? No. No. I know some of you right now like, what are you talking about? Yeah, Maxine Dupree. Max Dupree's younger sister. It's going to be younger sister. Trust me, they're not going to bring in a woman that's going to be Max Dupree's age or older. We got a photo to share later about Max Dupree. Holy shit. Holy shit. But actually, you know what? Let me show it to you now. You know, Max Dupree is doing Maximum Male Models. Now, do you think somebody like me could do as the owner of Maximum Male Models? I think if you're going to own in storyline Maximum Male Models, you better look like a Maximum Male Model. I was shocked. I posted this on Twitter. I expected a bunch of people, even if they liked their M&Ms without peanuts, I expected a lot of people to be like, holy shit, you know, kudos for him, giving him a little shout, and nobody fucking paid attention to it. So I deleted it. I'll show it to you here. That is Max Dupree, L.A. Knight, Eli Drake, whatever you want to call him. That is the shape that he has gotten himself into. So I think Max Dupree probably will need to start posing with these guys. I don't know if Max Dupree ever tunes into these shows, but you could send me a DM. My DMs are open. I'm very curious if you are on keto or carnivore. The fast that people do. You know, they have that one meal a day. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on carnivore and one meal a day. You know what, Gruss? Doudrop being Maxine Dupree, that would be interesting. That would be interesting. But no, I don't think they're going there. I think it's going to be someone from NXT. Somebody that we probably have not put eyes on all that much. Then again, it could just be somebody like a one-off. It could be a woman that was like in the group with Lashley. You know, some of the women that used to come out in Lashley's posse with MVP. Remember the MVP lounge? A couple of those women were shown on NXT this week with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. That one Spanish girl with the big bazoombas, she's featured quite a bit. So, but I think Naomi will be back very, very soon. I don't think Naomi takes the rest of the year off. The interesting thing is, does she come back as a heel? You know, there is a lot of buzz going around that she may come back and attack Liv Morgan. First, they want Liv Morgan to go through Lacey Evans. And we'll get into quickly some SmackDown results in a little bit. But one last thing about Sasha Banks before we move on. The word going around is that Sasha Banks is asking for $30,000 to make an appearance. Autograph, signing, convention, whatever you want to charge. And a lot of people are like, wow, that is selfish. That is crazy. Who the fuck does she think she is? I got news for you. That price is not as bad as you think it is. You know, I was telling a story yesterday on the watch party. Back, I think it was 2007. Pretty sure it was 2007. You all might remember some growing up Don Tony stories where I picked up Daphne from the airport. And by the way, God rest her soul, tomorrow is her birthday. So I will definitely spend a few moments on Daphne tomorrow. But I remember, you remember the story. I picked up Daphne from the airport, and we went to a wrestling convention in, I think, oh, shit, not Lindenhurst. I can't remember the town, but it was in Nassau County, Long Island. And Terry Funk was there. And you'll remember this story because I remember when I told you that when I went and shook Terry Funk's hands one more time, I shook his hand, his arthritis had gotten so bad. I thought I was holding like Andre the Giant's hands. They were so swollen, and you saw his bones were, you know, if you think of Shawn Michaels' lazy eye, or was it Robert Gibson, you just picture that with fingers. Like one is like this and the other one's like this and they're like all crooked. I almost choked up. Because you could see, and just think, this is 15 years ago. And imagine, you know, how bad it's become since. But the Dudleys, at that time, there was a big controversy. Lynbrook, that's the town, Lynbrook. Dudleys had left WWE. They went to TNA. And believe it or not, this might have even been a year or two before this convention, but there was controversy with the Dudleys, with an autograph signing here in New York at the time. Bubba Ray and Devon wanted $15,000 to appear. One promoter, because I went on my old website, I went to Wayback Machine and I checked it. One promoter claimed Bubba Ray wanted 10, Devon wanted 10. If you took them as a package, they would take 15. But they were asking that in 2005, 7, whatever it was. Now, how much is $15,000 worth today? Just to show you how crazy money has become. $15,000 just 15 years ago is now worth almost 20 grand today. So when you look at the Dudleys after their WWE run, you know, and then you look at Sasha Banks now, WWE superstar, Hollywood celebrity, you know, crazy following on social media, is it that much more to ask, especially in this economy? Undertaker takes $200 for a signed picture, won't sign anything from 1990, won't do this, won't do that, won't personalize. Fuck you. Fuck you. You know, like, people, the prices have gone through the roof. So Sasha Banks asking for 30 G's is steep. It's definitely steep. But the idea is, if Sasha is coming to your area, you could be guaranteed of one of two things. Number one, it is a rare occurrence. And number two, you're going to pay for it. You know, when we used to do the autograph signings with Video Game Central, when I did the autograph signing for Shawn Michaels and Batista and Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar and others, you know, those autographs were only $20, $25. If you go back, go to Wayback Machine, you go back on my site, because I ran those autograph signings. You know, I ran it with them, obviously. But, you know, the autograph's only $20 to $25. Why? Because their appearances were only maybe like 10 G's, 7 G's. One of them, I won't say which one it was, took $5,000. Only five grand at that time. One of the people I just said on the list took $10,000. Now, keep in mind, this is 2002, 20 years ago. So if $15,000 in 07 is worth 20 today, $15,000 in 02 is probably worth, what, 23, 24 grand? So you start realizing that the asking price of Sasha is basically saying, look, if you want me, you got to pay for it. And honestly, it's not a big deal. Yeah, Sting, look, you look at the cameos. You got wrestlers asking $500, $300, what? To talk while they're taking a shit, you know, on their phone for 90 seconds? Think about that for a minute. 90 seconds. You know, when you think about getting paid by the hour, oh, $20 an hour, $25 an hour, all right, whatever it is, just think about it. You're sitting in the privacy of your own home, and in an hour, you could record about, what, 25 cameos? And you charge even $300 a clip. 300 times 25 is what, $7,000? Imagine that, $7,000 an hour working from home. And then they'll go on social media and say, people should be making $25 an hour. People that today are being treated like shit, they should make $20. Meanwhile, you're asking $7,000 an hour for your services. I would pay for a corner cameo. I think I am going to. But kind of like my repentance from my old intros. Remember the intros? So you let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. But Sasha Banks asking for 30 G's. Look, most of the people that are saying that are people that either don't like Sasha Banks or very, very young, and they don't understand, you know, the cost, the price, and what's involved here. Back, we were talking about yesterday when Frank Goodman, when I used to work for USA Pro Wrestling, and we would book like Vader, Scott Steiner, X-Pac right after his WWE run, and others. You know, some of the asking prices were pretty expensive, but what you would do is you would work out a three-appearance deal So if one of those wrestlers charge $5,000 a clip, you say, okay, how's about 3 for $8? And that's how you do it. So, yeah, yeah. So some wrestlers, you'd be surprised how much they asked back in the day. That's why some promotions, look, somebody wrote earlier that Braun Strowman was asking for 20. I think that asking price has gone down a little bit. But Braun Strowman, that's his way of saying, like, look, you know, if you really want me to work your show, you're going to have to pay for it. That's all it is. All right. So Sasha, just to summarize, I think she's back, possibly after 2022. And I also think the 30 G's is not as bad as people portraying it to be. All right. Now, let's talk about this TV 14 stuff. All right. I'm going to just say it like it is. Way overblown. Way overblown. How many of you yesterday saw Rampage? How many of you saw Rampage yesterday? Rampage, honestly, one of the worst Rampage episodes that I have seen this year. And I have been very, very complimentary towards Rampage. There were some weeks that I thought Rampage was better than SmackDown. Nice 1 hour. Yesterday was sloppy. The amount of noise that was piped in for the Gresham-Moriarty match was laughable. If you go back and you are, look, for the diehard AEW fans out there, I'm not trying to make fun of AEW. I am a fan and a supporter, but I tell it like it is. That was fucking awful yesterday. And just the overall night was just a hot mess. Here's my point. Yesterday's Rampage rating was TV 14. Tell me, what was so TV 14 about it? What was it? What was it? Did we get a lot of expletives yesterday? You know, once in a while we get, Tony, cut this shit. Did we have blood yesterday? Crazy blood? Did we have over the top crazy violent? No. It was TV 14. Tell me, what was TV 14 about it yesterday? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. WWE has Raw. They go 3 hours. This has been a known fact for a very, very long time. WWE would save some of their more adult content, you know, or something that might be not the best for children. They would save that for the 10 o'clock hour. The USA Network, we used to joke, what was that, Temptation Island? That they would censor out a WWE curse. If somebody said, bitch, it would be censored out on Raw, but 5 minutes before Raw ended, you would see on Temptation Island, they're saying, asshole, pussy. They would not censor words. So USA Network has a lot of programming that's already TV 14. But I want to make this point that no one else is making. And this is why, again, you don't need to follow it. You don't need to like it, but you need to understand it. Stockholders, board of directors, financial interests, sponsors, advertisers, that's who WWE answers to more than anything else. If WWE is going to change their programming to TV 14, advertisers have to be made aware of it. Investors have to be made aware of it. So for everybody that thinks the PG era is over, I say this with the utmost respect. You are fucking clueless, or you are fucking clickbaiting. Because what do you think? I've been saying this question in chat rooms for the last 2 days. What do you expect to change on TV? You know what the number one answer is? And somebody mentioned yesterday in the watch party, and they're not far off. People think bra and panties matches are returning. What do you think actually is going to change? That you might hear a curse word? Oh, my God, must see TV. He said shit. Oh, my God. Did he really say asshole? What do you think is going to change? Do you think bleeding is now going to be a regular thing? Do you understand about the hygienic side that WWE pays attention to? Do you think about the advertisers, the sponsors, the investors, about the blood and gut? What do you think actually is going to change? So anybody out there that's saying PG over, attitude era's coming back, those are people that don't have a fucking clue. Because mark my words, if TV-14 pops up on your screen Monday night, I give it 1 week, maybe two. Because SummerSlam is coming. So there's going to be some wild shit going on leading into SummerSlam. But in a snap of a finger, you know what you're going to see from all the usual suspects? Nothing has fucking changed. It's TV-14. It's the same old shit. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think is going to change? You think suddenly Bruce Pritchard or anybody on the writing team, do you think every week, hey, I got this idea. Oh, we can do this. No, PG. Oh, well, we can have this person do that. PG. Nope. It sounds like Seinfeld. What do you think is going to change? Every time someone says that online, ask them, say, what do you think is actually going to change? It's not what you think it is, everybody. And like I said, this is family entertainment. They're not going to piss off investors, groups, advertisers by giving a raunchier product. Now, TV-14 gives them a little bit of wiggle room. If they do want to do something, remember Retribution on SmackDown? I'm one of the only people that have been bringing this up since it happened. And a lot of people didn't even realize it at the time. One night on SmackDown, Retribution showed up. And when the show started, it said TV-14. I'm like, wow, I wonder what they're going to do. You watch that episode, 99% of the people online said, oh, it was TV-14 because Braun Strowman, I think it was Braun Strowman, almost chokeslammed Alexa Bliss. Almost. They thought, oh, men on women violence, TV-14. No. WWE was told by Fox, we don't want Antifa like shit on our show. WWE put Retribution on the show, and they thought they would be cutesy with the commentary to make it feel that, you know, it was just a bunch of wrestlers trying to make change and notice and frustration. And before the show aired, Fox threw the TV-14 label on their show. No SmackDown episode since has been TV-14, and Retribution was never seen again on SmackDown. So, Joe Dickens thinks it's all for the Edge new gimmick. What is he going to do? Is he going to, like, slice someone open and drink their blood? What do you think? You see a live sex celebration? What is he actually going to do? You know, I know a lot of people are speculating what it could be. You might see a little men on women violence. You might hear a curse word here or there. You might see some over-the-top violence, you know, some very, very hardcore violence. I'm not even saying weapons, but you destroy someone on TV where you almost feel uncomfortable. Yeah, that could warrant a TV. Look, a lot of people just learned of the video of Minoru Suzuki and I think it was Oscar, right? Minoru Suzuki Oscar footage. I think it was Oscar, right? I haven't paid attention to that footage in years. But some people online started spreading it a week ago, and it caught on. And if you watch that footage from Japan, it's very disturbing. I mean, Minoru Suzuki just totally beat the fuck out of Asuka. That would get a TV 14 rating, even though it was nothing in the ring, just physical, you know, forearms and shots to the head and just totally beating the crap out of her. It's what it's perception. Somebody says, hey, Toxic Attraction could come out. Why? Because you see a little bit of a butt? Because you see some 2 pounds of bologna coming out of a 1 pound bag? Trust me, everyone. Trust me, everyone. I am all for better storylines. But I have said this so many times over the years. This guy worked through the PG era. This is not why I'm wearing the shirt, but this guy worked through the PG era. It was not TV 14. And it was fucking great. PG and TV 14. TV 14 does not guarantee a better product. TV 14 does PG era over. I don't even know what the fuck that means. So believe me when I tell you, everyone, even Pat McAfee, you know, brought it up yesterday, because Pat McAfee cutting his promo, he's on the pulse of what everybody's talking about. So he'll throw words out there to try to garner a reaction. He's been doing that. He does that about other things as well. He knows, you know, he knows what the deal is. But listen, everyone, I'm telling you, you know, for everyone out there that thinks suddenly we're going to get raunchy shit back there, or suddenly we're going to get, you know, extremely hardcore violence, or you're going to get, you know, lots of expletives, or you're not. I'm not trying to ruin anyone's hope. But understand the business side of WWE. They'd have lots of splaining to do. So what this does is it gives WWE wiggle room to do a little more. If they want, you know, to go a little bit further with something, they can. It's almost like you go to a place and... Oh, I'm trying to think of a really good example. But you do something. You go somewhere. And the guidelines, like, you have to stay within this area. Choose anything. All right, you got to stay within this area. You can't do this. So now it's like, all right, you could do this and you could do this. It doesn't mean you can or you will. But you know that if you decide to do something a little bit further, you're not worried about what the rating is going to be. That's all it is. USA Network, if WWE was, and I'll leave you with this, WWE was changing their mindset about going TV 14. Why is it not happening on SmackDown? And don't give me, oh, well, it's free. It's free TV. It's Fox. It's the syndicated. Whatever. No. If WWE is going to be TV 14, it's TV 14. You know, we thought, remember Raw Underground? We felt like Raw Underground was TV 14 because of the rawness of it and the fighting and this and that. It felt like a little bit of, but it wasn't. It's all about perception, everybody. It's all about perception. If WWE was going to get rid of PG programming and go back to Attitude Era or go, you'd have a lot of meetings. You'd have to make it public. You'd have to explain what you're going to do. And one other thing. Very important also. Pay attention on Monday. If they show the TV 14 rating, pay attention to the letters that are underneath the TV 14. V, L, whatever you want, pay attention to those letters. Because if you see V and nothing else, then the TV 14 is related to violence. If you see the letter L, then there could be some strong language. You got to pay attention to the letters underneath the TV 14 rating, because that will give you an idea as far as what would be TV 14 standards. And realize that the TV 14 may be directed more towards hour three. You know, if you have a 3-hour show and one part of the show is TV 14 or, God forbid, TVMA, the whole show is. The whole show is. WWE Raw is not three different episodes in one night. Back in the day, you would have Raw is War and the War Zone. It felt like kind of two different shows. But if you have a show that is a 3-hour block and first hour is family friendly and the second hour is still PG programming and the third hour is got a little TV 14 mixed in with it, the whole show is TV 14. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind when you watch this. Because all of this hype online, these people don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about. They don't have a goddamn clue. You give it 1 or 2 weeks, you will see people say, it's the same old shit. Nothing fucking changed. Same old shit. Why did they have to do TV 14? So, all right. Let's get into this quickly. We don't need to spend a lot of time about it. All right. Vince McMahon. You're retired! We were joking last week about the internet wrestling community that despises Vince McMahon. They will not accept a retirement. They want this man fired, embarrassed, voted out, put down, criticized, reprimanded. Him retiring, people will call it the pussy way out of this. We were joking about it last week. Could you imagine how they will react if Vince were to retire? I got a really interesting DM 2 days after we had that discussion. And this person who I trust very, very much with a lot of the financial side of things said, DT, you're spot on what you said. Expect something to be coming out in the business world. The business world, not ricksrasslin.com. You're in the business world that is going to talk about how WWE is seriously considering keeping Stephanie as CEO permanently. That Vince McMahon may actually retire. And that is something that I don't know how that sits well as far as, you know, just the internet wrestling community as a whole. You know, there's a lot of Phil Mushnick and others, there's people outside of wrestling that want to see this guy crucified. They don't care that he's 80, close to 80. They want this man at some point to pay for his sins and not be a storyline. You know, Linda got out of the wheelchair many years ago. Wrestlers, women, divas kicked Vince in the balls over the years. And that's all storyline perceived, even though a lot of it was based on reality. No, they want a legitimate kick in the balls. So get prepared for it. If Vince McMahon retires as CEO, keeps his stock, and is a contributor to creative, maybe not the head of creative, but Vince is still got power in creative, you will realize that not much would have changed. That's why the stock market, look, you see a $2 drop. You know, keep in mind, the stock right now is like $60 a share, $62 a share. Over the last 12 months, the stock was as low as $45 a share. So the WWE stock is doing a damn good job, regardless of what people are trying to portray. People in the financial world, they see the writing on the wall with Vince McMahon. They see his age. They see some of his actions. You know, they know, you know, when you follow Vince McMahon in wrestling over the years, you know what you get. What you see is what you get. There is no magic bullet that is going to come out that we never knew about Vince McMahon, that people will be shocked to shit. Paying out money to women, is that really a surprise? You know, NDAs, especially in the business world, the corporate world, the billion-dollar world? Is that a surprise? No. So be prepared that this is going to come out. And when it does, it's like those two guys that were on Busted Open Radio last week that are involved in the Wall Street Journal. They're kind of surprised how this is not getting a lot of press.
Oh, what did you want? Dark Side of the Ring coverage?
You know, these people are doing this shit for hits, views, and likes.
Well, why is this not catching on?
Well, you fucking don't know Vince. Not justifying it. I don't like what he did. I wouldn't want my father to be like that. I don't think I would want to be like that. But I'll say one other thing. And I'll keep saying it. Christy Hemme. When the allegation first came out about paying $7.5 million, a lot of people jumped the gun and said Christy Hemme. And I thought that was fucked up. Because if you truly respect Christy Hemme and you think she's a victim and, you know, she was manipulating this and that, why put all this attention on her if you, when you're not sure if it's even her? But something has transpired over the last 3 weeks. What has transpired? Nothing. TT, what the fuck are you talking about? I know it's early, but it's not that early. I'll repeat what I said on the sit-down last week. If I'm Christy Hemme, and I have the whole world claiming that I gave Vince McMahon a blowjob, and I turned down Vince's advances, and then I got buried and fired, and everybody and their mother is talking about me saying that I did this and this happened to me, and it wasn't, I would be on social media 5 minutes later. Oh, hold on. Hold the horses, everybody. Don't put my name in this. I have nothing to do with it. Leave me out of this. I appreciate it, but no, it's not me. She hasn't said a word. Why would you want your name tied to Vince McMahon, oral sex, and other stuff if it wasn't you? Why wouldn't you immediately go out there? You know, I laugh when people like, well, her publicist might be leaving. What do you think, these people like are robots? You think she's not like home right now in a condo looking outside saying, should I go in the pool today? Oh, I got to go pay bills. Oh, you know, ham's on sale. Let me go buy some ham and cheese. What do you think that these people do that's so different than anyone else? You click on social media. Why is my name trending? Him? I'd be on there in a second. Hey, everyone. No, it's not me. Move on. She didn't do that. So now I'm left with two things. She didn't take her name out of it. And the second thing is, 13 years later, right before Vince McMahon does big deals with Saudi Arabia and Fox and everything else, or right at the time this whole issue was going down, 13 years later, you show up with a lawyer. Hey, Vince, you got to break that fucking bank. You're going to give me what I want. Give me what I need. I'll even spit on you as I say that. Like Batista. Remember when Batista did it? It rained all over the camera. Give me what I want. Give me what I need. How do you feel about someone 13 years later, whether you like Vince or not? How do you like someone showing up with a lawyer and saying, pay me, motherfucker, or I'm going to tell everybody what happened 13 years ago? That doesn't sound like blackmail to you. To me, it does. So if you're going to get upset at NDAs, and I don't like NDAs. NDAs is the rich man's way of getting out of trouble. You, me, especially those minority and, you know, other groups, you get into legal trouble, very, very, very hard to get out of it. These people,
$1 million.
And they're out of it. They're out of it. Just buy, you know, amnesia from people. So, you know, if you're going to complain about NDAs, you got to complain also about what transpired in 2018. So, all right, so we'll see what happens. But Vince McMahon permanently stepping down as CEO, those rumors are going to start flying, and the stock market is not going to change as much as you think, because a lot of investors are already preparing themselves for this. So, all right, very quickly, let's chat a little bit about SmackDown. We chat a little bit about Rampage. You know, one little cute thing I had to share with all of you. I got to share with all of you. You know, Dynamite took place Wednesday. Rampage took place late Wednesday, you know, into early Thursday morning. It's taped the same night as Dynamite. So early Thursday morning, AEW, Tony Khan puts this out. And for those on audio only, all it is the banner hyping up Rampage. And when I saw this, I wanted to throw up. Nothing against Jonathan Gresham. Nothing against Lee Moriarty. They're not bad. Gresham is better than we think. Even though he kind of walks like he's Taz, he's the same height as Taz. And, you know, him wearing the outfit he wears to the ring, it reminds me of Shockmaster. Tugboat, Shockmaster, I think they were the same height. Shockmaster used to look really small, short, wearing the Stormtrooper hat. Gresham comes out and he's a little bit short. I would not have anybody walk down to the ring with Gresham because Tully Blanchard overpowers him in size. But I saw this banner and I got nauseous because I'm like, look at this shit. You got Private Party and the Lucha Bros who are in AEW pretty much since day one. And you have Jonathan Gresham and Lee Moriarty overshadowing everybody else. This banner is Tony Khan's banner. This is something that would be his wallpaper. This would be something that he looks at it with a glassy tear in his eye of happiness. Like, oh, the Ring of Honor heavyweight title's being defended. And then we saw that fucking match yesterday, which was not very good, and the crowd was dead. Dead as a doornail. And then when I went to pull the graphic for tonight, I noticed something. See where it says tomorrow on the bottom? This was put out by Tony Khan early Thursday morning. He couldn't wait to brag to the world, oh, Ring of Honor heavyweight title. It's such a powerful match. We're giving it on Rampage instead of the $40 pay-per-view. But the day after, I guess after they did editing, and they're like, look, boss, I don't think there's anything we can really do with this match to make it look great. Look at that. They changed the headliner to the Lucha Bros versus Private Party. I was like, you slick little doggies. You slick motherfuckers. They realized this guy's hyping this Ring of Honor shit. Like, it's epic, amazing, unbelievable. It's back. This is their fantasy world. I'm happy Ring of Honor is doing the pay-per-view. If people want to buy it, go for it. If you want to go, the matches are going to be great. You know it is. But I beg you, go back and watch that match yesterday. Understand, this was after Dynamite. A lot of people went home. If you look at the camera angles, you will see gigantic sections totally blackened off because there was nobody in the sections. The only section that had a lot of fans still was the hard camera side. And we're hearing clapping. We're hearing woos with chops. And you look at the crowd, I swear I will never do another show again. We watched every camera angle. And for every 20 people, you had one person who might have been clapping. They piped in so much noise during that match. That match is truly what Ring of Honor is amongst mainstream wrestling. That's what it is amongst mainstream wrestling. When you get the pay-per-view, it's 5,000 seat building, 4,000 seat building. It's not a 20,000 seat building. It's $39.99, $15 less than AEW. You're starting to see that Ring of Honor is pretty much a niche deal. This is for the people who are hardcore Ring of Honor fans that want to still see the product out there. But again, you could have Mercedes Martinez parade her title. You could have Gresham parade his title. You could have FTR parade their title. Fact of the matter is, between the beginning of April to the end of July, there has been one event since WrestleMania weekend, and that is next weekend. One event, no house shows. you're taking belts and you're putting them on your AEW programming. Other than that, there is nothing active about Ring of Honor. Oh, well, you can have Gresham on your indie show. Hey, Chad, you got your Texas Wrestling Alliance? We could say, yo, John, we want Jonathan Gresham. Well, guess what? Pay us a couple of extra dollars, and he could defend the Ring of Honor championship on your show. Oh, you know, wow, we can actually advertise it. It's like TNA shit. Bill Behrens. Anybody remember Bill Behrens, what they used to do with TNA? You would have these wrestlers working for NWA TNA that would work indies. And then if you wanted the wrestler, you can advertise them as NWA Tag Team Champion. You pay a little extra for it. What Tony Khan is doing right now towards Ring of Honor is the same thing that Bill Behrens and TNA used to do 15 plus years ago. The difference is TNA was doing a show every week. Ring of Honor is not. Outside of this pay, what's next after this pay-per-view? Oh, they're coming back in November. No, that's not an active promotion. That is someone who has bought the promotion and is using the titles every week. Like I said, WWE could start parading out the WCW championships. It would look ridiculous now because everybody is 20 years older, but you tell me what the difference is. There is no difference. They could bring back Evolve. You could have on NXT next week, that's the Evolve champion. You would have every WWE hater go on social media and say, Evolve? Sapolsky's fine. That company's closed. Evolve. You'd see the difference right away. So, match results from yesterday, and we prefer to use this banner. We had the House of Black over the Dark Order. You know, okay match. Julie Hart, I agree with everyone that said it yesterday. Julie Hart should be dyeing her hair black. She should not be in her car posing in front of, you know, Shake Shack. And like, look, everybody, ooh, I got a little shake on my shack. You know, I mean, act like you're a fucking member of the House of Black. You know, you're not just House of Black on Friday nights. Just saying. And by the way, what happened to the Varsity Blondes? Where's their bitterness? Why aren't they going after the House of Black? Look what you did to Julie. You poisoned her brain. They did nothing. They did nothing. After the match is over, Darby Allin shows up because, remember, Darby got attacked by Brody King at an autograph signing last week, so that's to set up their next feud. And then we see Sting and Malachi Black having a stare down, which was kind of funny because Sting and Darby Allin, like, I'm sorry, Sting and Malachi Black. Malachi is standing in front of the heel exit entrance. Sting is on the opposite side. And they're both like just staring at each other. And then they tease that they're going to walk into the back. And then they stop and look at each other again. And it looked like if you've ever been to like a baseball game or a casino and you're standing like outside the public bathroom area and it has like the two entrances, but all the toilets are full. And then one toilet opens up and you're just staring at each other like, you go. And then you both try to go and then you stop and you look at each other again. They look like they were waiting to use the toilet to take a piss yesterday. Global Force Wrestling is not a good comparison, Gress, only because Global Force Wrestling actually was doing house shows. They were doing baseball stadiums. They were only drawing $110. That was pathetic, man. 5,000 seat stadiums and they drew $110. I remember that one banner, I still got it somewhere, where I actually put a number under each person that was in attendance. That's how small it was. We labeled each person with a number. It was like 136 people out of a 5,000 or 6,000 seat place. Tell me Malachi Black and Sting were not like waiting to take a piss. All we needed to do is just have him go like this. You know, and you got to go and you got to hold it in. And you're like, any of you out there have had that happen? Like your girlfriend or your boyfriend is in the bathroom? And you got to pee really bad. And they're like, honey, you almost done? Yeah, I'll be out in a minute. And then you hear like texting and like, and you. All right. I'm kind of awake now. How long are we gone? 70 minutes? All right. We're going to go 90 minutes today. So we still got about 20 minutes left. All right. Mirdo cutting a promo on the House of Black.
Should I let the pagans take me? Or should I rip off their heads and tear out their spines? If you don't show up on TV soon and start attacking people, you're going to be like Aleister Black in the hotel room back on Raw. He cuts great promos. I want to redeem him on TV. I don't want him on TV once a month. Every week, should I beat up the pagans? Or should I stay in this hotel room and cut promos every week?
No difference. No difference. John DeGresham over Lee Moriarty. Crowd was fucking dead for this shit. Brian Cage, you know, ringside was cool to see. That's what they had lined up for him. Look, it's always great to see Tully Blanchard. But after Lee Moriarty loses, Stokely Hathaway kind of like offers his managerial services for Lee Moriarty. Oh, that's so nice. So nice. What else do we have? Oh, Statlander. Let me enlarge this for people. Statlander and Athena over Charlotte and Robin Renegade. Kiera Hogan. Did Kiera Hogan take a dive yesterday? It looked like when she ran down to the ring, she fell. I don't know if that happened. I mean, I wasn't paying extremely close attention, but I honestly thought she took a dive when she was walking down the ramp or running down the rampway. They're teasing Statlander and Athena versus Kiera Hogan. And, you know, then again, you know, interim baddie might get involved with that as well. Athena, in my opinion, they have done an awful job with. I mean, what are they doing? They're setting up ultimately a match between Athena and Jay Cargill. And then you realize, oh, my God, Athena's been in the company for 2 months already. And what the fuck have they actually done? The Gun Club explained their actions as if nobody could understand. Acclaim come out and basically leave them laying. You know, look, the whole storyline with the Acclaimed and the Gun Club was set up until Bowens was ready to return. Once Bowens was ready to return to the ring, that's when the split happened, and they will feud for a little while. And then we had the Lucha Bros beating Private Party. I'm a little bit surprised that AEW could not edit this match better. Not only was this a hot mess, but you had some really bad spots. You had one point where Penta just fell off the top rope a la Indy Hartwell from NXT Tuesday. Ray Phoenix with his finisher, that shit's scary. And even yesterday, we were in a watch party, quite a few of you were like holding your breath because, you know, this is obviously art. You know, they are very, very talented. Their work is spectacular. But, you know, Ray Phoenix is a little bit reckless. And, my God, Mark Quinn, Isaiah, you could have the head 1 inch lower. And that could have been a serious injury. It's too close for comfort. Too close for comfort. They really got to dial some of this shit back. You know, it's... The Crash TV is fine and everything, but people are getting numb to it. You know, I mentioned this the other day. I want to see, I'll see if I could pull the graphic up really quickly, but it is very telling. And it has to do with SummerSlam. Yeah, I found it. Okay, I found it. I brought this up a couple of days ago, and I wanted to show it to you. Somebody made a graphic for SummerSlam. And, you know, I still think, because Rey Mysterio, his 20th anniversary, which we talked about a while ago, they are going to celebrate it. And it's going to be July, I think, 25th. I'm wondering if Edge makes a return and Edge teams up with Rey Mysterio against Damian Priest and Finn Balor at SummerSlam. I'm wondering if that possibly happens. Rey and Edge have a history. Edge makes his return. Ray, obviously, they're still keeping the storyline with Judgment Day around. Now we got to wonder what's going to happen with Dominic Mysterio. Would Dominic Mysterio fit in well with Judgment Day? I don't know, but I have an open mind to anything. But somebody posted this graphic, and the person that posted it is a hardcore AEW fan. I want you to see this. Great work, by the way. The Fiend and Edge versus the Judgment Day in a street fight. In a street fight. Now, with all due respect, as crazy as the Fiend was with fire and everything, I don't see the Fiend doing a street fight. I don't see Finn Balor working street fight rules. Damian Priest, certainly not. Tell me where this even makes sense. But that's the mindset. That's the mindset of now AEW. Everything's got to be a street fight. Everything has got to be throw the rules out the window. Of course, Edge wants to get revenge on Judgment Day. But trust me when I tell you, when Edge starts explaining himself, he doesn't have a fan base. He turned on the fans. He's going to come back as technically a loner. But if he comes to the aid of Rey Mysterio, everybody pops. All is forgiven. Edge don't even need to make an explanation. But Edge, you know, this is an awakening for him. So Edge is going to turn. He's not going to, you know, feel abandoned. Disappoint. This might have been, this is the greatest thing that could have happened to me. He awoke from this, and you unleashed an edge that you did not want to see happen. But the idea of a street fight, that's the mentality. What do you think? With Athena and Chris Statlander and Kiroga, Jay Cargo, they're going to want a street fight because everything looks better when you use tables and chairs and you don't have the referee. We watched yesterday. It was so funny. We watched the referee in AEW. And, you know, you see all, you know, the people hitting the ring and, you know, no even an attempt to, like, get somebody and just, like, watching like a fan. So SmackDown yesterday, once again, they teased this. Now you realize what we talked about 2 weeks ago. The WWE is just taking a scenic route and they're turning this into a three-week saga where it could have been answered in one. The storyline is that Sheamus is afraid of taking on Drew McIntyre. So last week, Sheamus unleashes Butch in a failed outcome. This week, he unleashes Ridge Holland in a failed outcome. So now, either next week or the week after, they're going to have to face each other. And we'll probably get Adam Pearce that says, look, if you two guys don't face each other, neither of you will be at Clash of the Castle. So this is a one-week storyline that's been stretched into three or four. We got SummerSlam. Does Drew McIntyre and Sheamus fight at SummerSlam with the winner going on to Clash at the Castle? That could be. That could be. I'm still holding out hope of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that Gunther is going to end that pay-per-view streak of the IC title not being defended on a pay-per-view. It's a couple of years now. Gunther versus Shinsuke Nakamura, a lot of people believe will happen at SummerSlam. Next week, it'll be Ludwig Kaiser once again taking on Shinsuke. And if Ludwig Kaiser loses, yesterday Gunther chopped Ludwig Kaiser again. And yeah, the memes that came out of this, shout out to Zyla Themes, the memes that came out of that, I looked at that and I'm like, yeah, that's the look of all of you if I accidentally start a live stream and I don't have a t-shirt on. That's how all of you would look at me. Not in an erotic way. You'd be like, oh my God. Oh my God. He has more rolls than a bakery. So that's what they hyped up yesterday. So Pat McAfee comes out to open the show, hyping up SmackDown, teases a little TV-14. He apologizes for the fans for 2 hours of Corey Graves last week, bum-ass Corbin being on commentary. And this is to hype up their match for SummerSlam. Liv beating Natty in a championship contenders match. I thought we might see a little something with Ronda Rousey and her yesterday. The New Day, I don't even know what to say about this. The New Day coming out mocking the Viking Raiders. The new raid, it was awful. the Viking Raiders come out and they sound like they're like on AEW Dark. And I'm not throwing a shot at AEW Dark. They come off as guys that are not even like legitimate stars. You know, they're talking like five-year-olds. And then the funny thing, which we talked about last week, after Shanky and Jinder lost to the Viking Raiders, they disappeared. New Day came out and got destroyed by the Viking Raiders. And when it went down, we said last week, like, where's Jinder and Shanky? They disappeared. Well, yesterday, they suddenly appeared. And they went at it with the Viking Raiders. Ultimately, the Viking Raiders went out to dodge the vicious Viking Raiders. And then they're now teasing Jinder turning babyface. I know one of you said that last week asking me, do I think they're going to turn babyface? I don't know. All I know is that I had 3MB vibes yesterday with Jinder. When Shanky was dancing, I look at WWE social media and they're like, come on, Jinder, you know you want to. And I just had like weird flashbacks of this like 50-year-old fatty when I was like 22 at the bar. And she was like, you know you want to. Like, you think of every little thing. Like, you know, you have some food. You just cooked this beautiful, beautiful food, and you accidentally drop it on the floor. And you pick it up after within 5 seconds. You put it on the plate, and no one is looking, and you're looking down, and your inner stomach is saying, you know you want to. Like, you think about every little thing. Like, you're on a diet. You're on keto. You open the fridge, and because your significant other is not on keto, you look, and there's this really giant, like, pretzel just hanging out. Why it would be in the refrigerator, I don't know. But it's got, like, gooey cheese all over it, a lot of salt. You're looking at it, and it's saying back to you, you know you want to. It's like Jinder with this little smirk. And we even said yesterday, I was like, okay, here comes the smirk. And he's like, awful. Jinder is going to turn into 3MB all over again. All right. Gunther chops Ludwig Kaiser. He basically says, losing is for losers. He didn't actually say that, but if you want to summarize what Gunther said yesterday, losing is for losers. Aaliyah was supposed to take on Lacey Evans. You know, it was funny, last week they were supposed to team up, and Lacey was taking too much time to come down to the ring. And Aaliyah, very impatient, she's like, what are you doing? We got a match. Hurry up. Come on. Vamos. Alegre. Viva la raza. Whatever you want to say. You know, she's not Spanish, but, you know. And she's like trying to rush Lacey Evans, and obviously we don't get the match. So now yesterday they're going to have a one-on-one against each other, and no urgency from Aaliyah. Aaliyah's in the corner, and she's ready to go, and here comes Lacey Evans. She wants the music replayed again. She hits the ring, putting down the fans. This is the respect I get. I defended our country. She's getting the what chance. And meanwhile, Aaliyah is just standing in the corner, just standing like this. You know, where's the urgency? She's letting Lacey Evans tell the fans, go, what, to, what, hell, what? And then Lacey Evans leaves. And Aaliyah's on the opposite side of the ring in storyline. And she's like, what just happened? Why they didn't just have Aaliyah win by countout? I don't get it. But the match never happened. You know, Pat McAfee yesterday said on Twitter, he's like, I've never seen that before. As far as like somebody who defended our country and the crowd totally shitting on them. I was going to respond, but I usually don't respond to things on Twitter because unless you, you know, write something controversial or politically correct social statement, like nobody pays attention. But I was going to say, can you imagine if they did this with Jackson Riker? Especially with the Trump stuff. You imagine if Jackson Riker was still in that company and he that came out with Lacey Evans, or they did this with him before Lacey Evans. Oh my God, that guy would have had some nuclear goddamn heat. Oh, the nuclear heat. Madcap Moss beats Theory by disqualification. Theory uses the briefcase. We had Paul Heyman make a couple of appearances yesterday. First one, trying to, you know, get on the good side with Theory. Later on, which was stupid, he's with Moss, and he's saying to Moss, like, think of your future. Roman Reigns versus Madcap Moss, headlining an event. He didn't say WrestleMania. And he wants Moss to take care of Theory. And he's like, what do you think? And instead of Moss just, like, doing what he's got to do, he's like, I think you're afraid of Theory. And he walks off. It was just awful. Very, very awful. As I said earlier, Drew McIntyre beat Ridge Holland with white noise. Claymore setting up the match with Sheamus. Main event, we have Angelo Dawkins beating Jey Uso. Charles Robinson was the referee. He got knocked loopy a couple of times. And towards the end, while loopy still, he does the pin, even though Jey Uso's shoulder is up. Sami Zayn's on commentary, wanting to be the referee at SummerSlam. And intentionally, another ref botch to make this into a storyline. And Sami's calling out Charles Robinson for what he did. And here comes Adam Pearce. That we need a special guest referee for the Usos versus the Street Profits at SummerSlam, and it's going to be Jeff Jarrett. I don't like it. I understand he'll get a nice pop from Memphis. He could still take bumps, but I still think Sami Zayn is a factor. Also next week, the Maximum Male Models return. They're going to present to us their 2022 beachwear collection. Expect a surfboard, expect a beach ball, a rainbow-colored beach ball, because they're going to make it nice white colors, yellow, red, you know, just like real summery colors. You know, you'll see a little green. We will see towels, maybe teasing a little suntan lotion squirt, not like Orlando Jordan style. Just think that in TNA, you know what I'm talking about. But we get a surprise next week. Maxine with two X's. Now, if you wanted to be creative, I would have done three X's, but you know, we're not going TV-14 on SmackDown. Maxine Dupree, Max's younger sister, will make her debut next week. Who do you think Maxine Dupree will be? I think it's going to be an NXT star, you know, someone that we're not familiar with all that much yet that they want to bring to the main roster. But really, who would you bring to the main roster that could stay? Like, I think of Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell, you know, I think could make it on the main roster, but would you want Indy Hartwell to be Maxine Dupree? No. Wendy Chu, I don't see that at all. She's doing good in NXT. I wouldn't move her up. Be interested if it was Io Shirai, but she's going back home. Oh, no. Nikita Lyons is going to be going for the women's championship in NXT very, very soon. But we're going to get the beachwear collection next week. So that's pretty much was your episode of SmackDown. Just wanted to show you, we have an anniversary that happened yesterday. 20 years ago, everyone. 20 years ago, Eric Bischoff made his WWE debut as the Raw General Manager. I still have my hotline report from that night. And it was surreal. It was surreal to see Eric Bischoff, 1 year removed from WCW, coming in and being the Raw General Manager. It was not predicted. There was no spoilers that day. He came out, I think somebody might have wrote something like 10 minutes before it happened, but what I'll always remember from that night was Booker T's reaction. You see the white of his eyes. He looks like that guy when Brock Lesnar beat the streak at WrestleMania, but Booker T's reaction is what I will always remember. He's just looking like, what the fuck am I looking at? And sure enough, it's Eric Bischoff. Hi, I'm Eric Bischoff. Oh, that was spectacular. What that was something you never ever expected. That was pretty awesome, man. It's pretty awesome. John Morris says Maxine Dupri will be Gunther's girlfriend, Ginny, from NXT UK. That's not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea. If she talks, though, if she's got that accent, I don't know how that would work with Max Dupri. Max Dupri does not have an accent. You know, what would it be? A sister from another mister? You know, so but that's not a bad idea. Yeah, that was epic, man. When Bischoff came out, people couldn't believe it. The hug was pretty funny, too. They kept hugging each other, and you know Vince don't like the hug. And Bischoff, like, goes in there a second time. Oh, he's hugging him. So, all right. Looks like we're going a little longer than expected. It's okay. It's only 11:35. Let's do 2 hours. Let's do 2 hours. We're at 90 minutes. Let's do 2 hours. Now, yesterday for the watch party, the giveaways, somebody is going to win that Liv Morgan autograph photo on Monday. Someone else is going to win that autograph photo on Monday. That was the watch party giveaways yesterday. You know, what was really cool is, you know, my contact within WWE that gets me some of these photos, he DM'd me about 10 days ago, and he says, which one you want? Liv Morgan signed photos with the briefcase or with the title? And I said, you know what? Give me the ones with the briefcase, because she cashed it in so fast that she don't have the briefcase anymore. So I was pleasantly surprised. He's sending me a bunch of photos. So, yeah, so someone Monday is going to win this, and someone else is going to win that. So I think it's pretty cool to have Liv Morgan Money in the Bank signed photos. So, by the way, for future giveaways on the watch parties, we're going to start giving away cards, autograph cards. Now, I'm not giving away this AJ card. This is like $500 on eBay, but I think we're going to start. By the way, this one just went up in value too. You put these two on eBay? Oh my God. How much did my grubby fingers? So we're going to start doing some autograph cards. They obviously have a lot more value, but as the watch parties get a little bigger, and stop by. It doesn't cost anything. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday. There's so many people that are like, oh my God, I got to try to win that. All you got to do is just stop by and hang out for a little bit. Even if you stop by and you don't socialize, you know, you're just embarrassed or you just don't feel like talking, maybe you don't have a mic or a camera. It's all good. If you stop by, hang out, not for 5 minutes, but if you stay a little while, I put you on the entry anyway. So, all right. What else we got to get into? I'm looking. Oh, injuries. AEW injuries. Add Matt Jackson, add Andrade to the injured list. Now, the good news about Andrade is that, you know, it's not going to be a long injury. He's not going to be out for a long period of time. The funny thing about it is, if you follow Andrade's in-ring schedule with AEW, they probably didn't even need to announce the injury. And we wouldn't have thought anything different. He was in the corner yesterday with Private Party, and he got involved. He actually got a lot more physical than I think people realized as it was going down. So he can move. He can't take any bumps right now. But, you know, his injury is not very serious. Matt Jackson is a little bit of concern, because Matt Jackson, you know, he's had some neck issues. He suffered a stinger. And, you know, what went down this week, you know, you start looking at all these injuries and you're seeing a pattern. You're seeing older, or you're seeing a lot of high fly. You know, you're seeing people taking risks that are probably unnecessary. And I got news for you. I think little by little, AEW will start dialing back on some of what we see. They got to reel in some of these wrestlers, because like I said, you know, there's one thing to kick out of finishers that shouldn't be. Orange Cassidy kicking out of the F-10 by Wardlow is one of the stupidest things that people will forget about. But it's one of the stupidest decisions that AEW has done. Because it doesn't increase Orange Cassidy's value at all. It takes away a move that no one should survive from. And that's why when you see someone kick out of somebody's finisher sometimes in WWE, you know, there is a legit shock value out of it. When people just keep kicking out and keep kicking out, there is no shock value. Yesterday, you saw people kicking out of crazy finishers, and there was no reaction from the fans. Even hot tags now are not getting that buzz reaction anymore. So, but we hope that Matt Jackson, you know, gets better sooner than later. I expect it. But, you know, two more people, you know, dealing with some bumps and bruises. So, I think we are done as far as questions go. Yes. Oh, one more. Keith Lee. I can't play the audio or the video. I sent a DM to someone in AEW if I could have permission to play it. I got no response. Doesn't surprise me. So I could only tell you a synopsis of it. After AEW went off the air Wednesday, Keith Lee and Strickland were in the ring. Keith Lee cut a very emotional promo. Now, earlier in the day, Keith Lee had posted a cryptic tweet saying, quote, very much less than stellar news. And a lot of people thought it might have to do with his body. It wasn't. After they won the tag titles and Dynamite went off the air, he got on the mic and revealed that a very close friend of his has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And he said, and I quote, "I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I only have 3 people in this world that I consider to be extremely close to me. One of them I've known for 2.5 decades. My friend's name is Lucius King. I've known him since 98. I found out a little while ago that he may have cancer. I dedicated this match to him and another buddy of mine named JD Griffey." He says, "This is a victory for you and a statement of my goddamn love. I will always be there. When I get to Texas, I swear to God, I will see you as soon as I can, my friend. Stay strong. Fight like we've done. Fight harder than I did to live. And I'll be there soon, my friend." So, very, very emotional, Keith Lee. Stage 4 cancer, you obviously know, is no joke. I'm getting married in less than 60 days. One of the reasons why I'm having a party is because a lot of people in my family said, "Why don't you just go to Vegas? You know, just why spend all that money on a party?" My uncle, my father's brother, has stage 4 cancer. And we don't know how much time he has left. And he's coming. And, you know, I wanted to have a get-together with my close family because this might be the last time that my family in its stay, you know, with everybody that's here right now, a year from now could be very different. So, you know, if you know you have any loved ones out there that are dealing with cancer or some issues, you know, don't take it for granted. If you spend time, you know, spend a little more time. And if you've lost touch a little bit, get in touch because, you know, cancer is no joke, man. Scares the shit out of me. I had 2 cancer scares. You know, now I'm dealing with prostate, you know, and I got to do something later this year. You know, luckily mine is something that could be handled, but you know, for other people, when you get to stage 4 cancer, man, that's brutal. So, all right. Some questions, some super chats. Nier's asking, "Do I think we'll see a battle rap between Max Caster and Swerve Strickland?" No. Swerve Strickland is more of a performer, artist. You know, I don't see him doing battle raps. Sure, he could, but no. You leave that just for Max Caster. And what you don't succeed out of that is if Max Caster wipes the floor with Swerve, it only hurts Swerve. Max Caster is already over. He doesn't need to hurt someone else in the company, you know, just to have a fun battle rap. And the opposite could happen. What happens if somebody embarrasses Max Caster? What happens if Swerve Strickland kills it, makes Max look like an idiot? You know, Max Caster, you know, he is very, very, you know, talented, but there's cadence. You rock that cadence and he might turn into mush. That's why a lot of people don't understand when he goes, listen, listen. He's trying to get the beat. He's hearing the beat and he's trying to think in his head, okay, when do I start? So as he's hearing a beat, he'll go, listen. And then that's why he does it. So he's very, very, you know, precise with that. And if you throw him off even a little bit, you know, he could screw his ass up pretty quick. Two awesome breakfast shout outs. I see Big Sal, Breakfast with Blasi, let's fucking go. Thank you very much, my friend. It is still early, so I will have some breakfast, although I probably will make my own this morning, but thank you very much for that. And then Ronnie had to outshine him. This is not Breakfast with Blasi. This is Breakfast for Blasi. So, you know, a lot of people don't know, like, where the origins of this name came from, this Breakfast with Blasi. You know, there's an infamous, I don't even know if you call it a movie. It's called My Breakfast with Blasi. It's Andy Kaufman and Classy Freddie Blasi in a diner. And it's just a conversation. You know, you see some women in the diner also. And, you know, it's funny watching Freddie Blasi thinking he could hit on these women also. It's an odd video, probably the way to put it. But it's called My Breakfast with Blasi. Blasi is a part of my last name. My last name is de Blasi, D-E-B-L-A-S-I. So when I came up with this name a long time ago, I said, you know what? It'll be a little tribute to Breakfast with Blasi, Freddie Blasi and Andy Kaufman. But instead of Breakfast with Blasi, Breakfast with Blasi. So that's where the name comes from. But all right, getting back to some questions. Rams fan, any plans for later today? Yeah, I got to go to an engagement party tonight. Funny thing is, I didn't bring my suit to the dry cleaners. There's some wrinkles. So I'm hoping like one of those dryer sheets does it. But yeah, I'm going to a engagement party tonight. So yeah, I'm sure I'll take a couple of photos. And yes, Rampage was not very good yesterday. It was actually a very disappointing show. You know what the sad thing about it is? It'll probably get a better rating. I mean, maybe not, but if it gets a better rating, it just goes to show you that, you know, bad shows could get good ratings and good shows could get bad ratings. But thank you for the 3 spot, my friend. Much appreciated. Steve Joseph with the 10 spot. How will my shows change after I get married? Am I going to cut back on shows, retiring? Okay, here's the deal. I didn't just ink a deal with Pro Wrestling TV, become the number one show there, and Blue Wire to just step back. What is happening now, today's a little different because this is the first true Saturday morning show that we've done. I did a Saturday morning show about 6 weeks ago, but that was NXT predictions. So that doesn't count. Today, we're going 2 hours because it's a Saturday morning show. Tomorrow, I expect to do the sit-down, but it'll probably be a one-hour show like we did last week. That was so tight, everybody loved it. My goal, which I'm working on now, is for every show to be about an hour, and if we really need to go longer, 90 minutes. And last week, we did do 2 shows that were only an hour long, and no complaints, no issues. So it's not really how many shows, it's the length of the shows. Another thing is the number of topics discussed on each show is going to be less. If you look, this is the list of topics for today. In the past, the other half of the sheet would be filled too. So the idea is to have a few less topics, but we could talk a little bit longer about them. But no, the shows will just be a little bit shorter, but I don't plan on stopping them. I know someone brought up like my parents' health issues. You know, if I have to tend to them and start taking care of them a little bit more, you know, all I got to do really is just move some of my equipment there, do shows from there. So, no, I don't expect to shut anything down, but I definitely am going to trim the length of the shows. So this way, you know, because there's only so many hours in a day also. You know, I have a regular office job. Plus, I'm getting older, and physically, it's not easy to handle all of this. I had a hard time getting up this morning. Once I got up, I got up. But, no, we're going to just, the shows will be shorter. Absolutely. So, Nier, do I like Iron Maiden or Metallica? Never really got into Iron Maiden all that much. Back in the day, you know, I would get into, like, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Yes, you know, groups like that. But later on, Metallica. A lot of wrestlers came out to Metallica. XPW's theme. Some of my old intros have Metallica's music in there. I would love to play some of my other old intros from the Hotline days, but I'll get hit with copyrights like crazy because of Metallica. So I enjoyed Metallica a hell of a lot more. So never really got into Iron Maiden all that much. So Def Leppard I used to love back in the day. Twisted Sister. Is that a Twisted Sister pin on your uniform? Awesome videos, man. Music videos. Steve, I answered your question earlier about Naomi. I believe Naomi will be back within the next month. And I'm very curious if she returns as a heel. I wonder if that's the way they're going to go. But I expect Naomi back. It would shock the shit out of me if Naomi doesn't come back. Look, you see the post of Naomi. She's home with family. You know, I think this turned into a break for both of them. I think Sasha could be back. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm not making a prediction. I'm not making news. But I'm taking a side that no one else has talked about. Will Sasha, maybe they gave her the rest of 2022 off. We'll see. Only time will tell. Chris Cutra with the five spot, much love. Ratings have never dictated show quality. TV 14 era had great and awful stuff. TV PG has had great and awful stuff. Spot on. Spot on. When you talk to people online and they say, oh, PG over and this and that, just hit them with one question. What do you expect to change? Suddenly, storylines are going to be spectacular. You think about the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era, you know, had its share of crap also. But if you want to be a little bit more specific, go like early to mid-2000s. And you think of all the uncomfortable shit with Vince, making out with Trish, you know, it's the sexual stuff. I mean, look, for eye candy, I'm sure fans liked it, but there was some disturbing stuff. Triple H, Katie Vick. You know, Shane McMahon having his balls electrocuted. You know, Linda McMahon, Eric Bischoff kind of infatuated with Linda McMahon's tits. You know, TV 14 doesn't magically give you good programming. All it does is it gives some leeway to do a little bit more. That doesn't mean that little bit more is going to be good. That's why I say, believe me, the two words that you're going to remember from this show about TV 14 is way overblown. I know the title right now on the show only says overblown because there's only so many characters and I have the word live on there right now. But when I update the title later, it's going to say way overblown. You're not going to sacrifice revenue. You're not going to sacrifice pissing off investors. You're not going to sacrifice pissing off groups, families. You're not going to sacrifice giving this aura that adult content is returning. Because if it don't pop a rating and you lose advertisers and you piss off investors and the stock goes down and now it's not so family friendly, tell me what you gain by that. You don't gain anything. Way overblown, everyone. Yeah, setting Jim Ross on fire was funny. That was funny. That was funny. Smelled like roasted pig. I think that's what we said at that time. You wanted to throw pineapples on his back. Seriously, I wanted to throw pineapples on his back with a little cherries, put a couple of skewers, have some roasted pig. Dumpster fire. All right. So we got about 10 minutes left, 9 minutes. I will be more than happy to answer some questions in the chat. Be good if we stick to more of the topics for tonight. So don't forget, tomorrow I'm doing a sit-down. We will do live, you know, chat discussion for an hour. Whatever you want to ask, I answer. So, hey, look, last week, like I said, we did 1 hour. I got such an awesome, more than usual, positive response back. And it was great because we did talk about Jeff Jarrett being a referee. We talked about a few topics. You, the questions last week were spectacular. So that's why I think quality over quantity. So, all right, just write the word question before your question so it stands out a little quicker. CJ Rocks, is there anyone in AEW who needs an unsung hero, who is an unsung hero, or not pushed when they should be? Oh, there's tons. There's tons. I mean, you know, you look at the women's roster, for example, and, you know, they got it, they fell in love with this Thunderstorm name. So you feel like Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm are going to be featured a little bit more, but there is no tag team women's championships on AEW. So it's fine, but it should not be the focal point. And now they're bringing back Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Why? Because there's a tag team versus another tag team. What about the title? What about feuds? You know, it feels like Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez is being treated more seriously than anything else. Jade Cargill is obviously, you know, got to get a lot better in the ring. She's coming along nicely, but there's no real bitter feuds. It's just like people by convenience. So the women's side, there is a much more than the men. As far as the men's side, you look, you could go down the list. You see wrestlers and tag teams. Starks and Hobbs. Starks and Hobbs, you know, because of the perception that Starks has the FTW title. Oh, he has a title. But they are just being taken for granted. There are so many wrestlers there that you see on the top five, their top five, and they really aren't getting pushed. It's smoke and mirrors. You could tell who Tony Khan is absolutely infatuated with. You could tell who the people in the back favor. And then there's everyone else. We try to make smoke and mirrors for everyone else. Outside of the Undisputed Elite, outside of the Young Bucks when Kenny Omega was out there, outside of, you know, a handful of people, and now Claudio, you know, Jericho, Kingston, is to me, is a lot of smoke and mirrors. When does Kingston get one championship? You know, that battle royal a couple of weeks ago to face Moxley, Kingston should have won that. When am I going off keto? I would say probably about a month. I'm going to go off it a couple of weeks before my wedding, because when you go off of it, you do suffer flu-like symptoms because your body's not used to having carbs again. So I'll probably go off it like 2 weeks before. If I don't lose another 6-7 pounds by my wedding, then I won't go off keto. I will go on my honeymoon and I will just make the best of it and try not to eat crappy shit. All right. SoFly, at this point this year, who are my MVPs in AEW and WWE? Ooh, boy. WWE, I got to go with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, top to bottom. Seth Rollins, consistent. You know, the way he just does, I give it Seth Rollins. On the AEW side, wow, that's so difficult because of how people are perceived. Maybe Moxley? I mean, it's not an easy question. Might be Moxley. You know what? FTR, you know why I say no? Yeah, they got three sets of titles. None of them are AEW belts. And people are chanting FTR for other people's stuff. And what? They came out to save best friends. That was a match out of convenience. It doesn't feel like FTR. FTR is like Ring of Honor is the promotion where Tony Khan likes people, but, you know, doesn't feel that they're mainstream money makers and this and that. They could portray the FTR as the greatest team in the last couple of decades, and they are one of the top teams. But they're so top, they can't get the AEW championships. When I see them focused on AEW TV every week, and not just because we see a billboard or a backstage promo, then I feel otherwise. But for me, it feels like, okay, you know, this is more the niche audience. They're not the big money makers in Tony's eyes and everything. They're not the ratings draw as much as you realize. I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors with FTR as far as the way AEW treats them. Do I plan on doing a Zoom this year? Yeah, I actually do. You know, the watch party is kind of what that is. You know, you don't have to connect to the video on the watch party to be part of the watch party, especially for my international friends out there. If your TV provider is not available, you could still watch SmackDown from the privacy of your own home and hang out in the chat with us all night. The only thing is just keep your volume down on your TV because, you know, it bleeds into the audio sometimes. But, yeah, no, we definitely plan in Zooms. I have Zoom set up, and I usually have Zooms with meetings. But, yeah, that's something down the line. Yo-Yo is asking me, do I think Lacey's return was botched? Or will the Southern Belle rise again? I think she'll do just fine. This is an interesting territory they're going. Why do I hear like a smoke detector? I heard a smoke detector. My fiance's probably making bacon, and she probably fucking... Honey! Honey! I hear a smoke detector going off. Meanwhile, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Is a lot of the MJF promo coming true? That was storyline. Like I said, if you're the owner of a company like Tony Khan and someone goes that unprofessional, you look like the absolute sissy pussy for the last 6 weeks if you don't reel it in and show that you're the boss and show that you're the strong one here. So, yeah, no, it's every week of silence that goes by, it shows you more and more with storyline. So I don't hear the smoke detector anymore. You know what probably happened? She's short. She probably couldn't reach the smoke detector, and she's probably, I hope she didn't fucking bash it with the broom. All right, let's wrap this up in a minute. Like I said, I will be back on Sunday for the sit-down. So we could pick up right where we left off. All right. One last question. Who's going to give me the last question? Good question to finish with. Good question to finish with. You know. Oh, my God. No, I don't think so. I think Sami Zayn is going to get involved in that match. I think next week Sami Zayn is going to try to talk Adam Pearce into letting him be an outside enforcer or something. I think the Usos are going to complain about Jeff Jarrett. I don't know if the Street Profits would complain about Jeff Jarrett, but I expect more to come out of this. Mickey James, the Chelsea kiss, I did not see it yet, but I will watch it later on and I'll comment on it tomorrow. So Lewis says he hopes to have dinner with me if I'm ever in New York City. Yeah, we'll do some get-together. Someone wanted to set up a get-together. Like I said, it's a shame that AEW is coming to here. And everybody that used to always say to me, oh, DT, you know, when AEW comes, we all got to get together. And yet, still, not one of those people have ever DM'd me and said, hey, bud, we're all getting together here. You want to stop by? Not even once. So... all right, let's pick this up tomorrow. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. On the way out, if you enjoyed the show, hit that like button. You know anyone out there that would like the channel, let them know about it. Post your comments, feedback, anything we talked about today. What do you think? Think Sasha Banks is back in 2023? I'm thinking about it. Have a good day, everybody. Let me know. Oh, more than anything, feedback. Did you like the Saturday morning idea? Do we continue this on a permanent basis? You know, obviously it's going to take a few weeks to pick up because not everybody is used to me doing a Saturday morning show. But I definitely want feedback. And if you don't like it, speak up. Everybody's opinion helps me. I don't want people to just kiss my ass and say, oh, it's awesome, epic, unbelievable. If you don't like it, tell me why. Because your feedback is going to determine what happens in the future. Now, I planned on next Saturday to go back Saturday night. But if it comes back overwhelming and, you know, that we do Saturday morning next week, I'll stick to Saturday morning. So I'll leave it up to you. So post your feedback. The more feedback, the more you'll help me decide, especially for next Saturday. So it's epic, unbelievable. Ah, too bad I never hear that late nights.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
I think we need a Saturday morning moderator. Who wants to moderate Saturday mornings? Post it in the comment section, and I will review your applications.